السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
I explained last Friday that the government of Punjab has placed restrictions on some of the magazines and books of our community. These magazines and books are banned from being published or displayed. This has been reported in some of the local newspapers. These days, with various picture messaging services on the mobile phones, news can spread around the whole world within minutes. When people hear about such news, they express their concerns to me in their letters and faxes. We must remember that this is nothing new. The history of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community shows that at the behest of the so-called scholars, such actions have taken place in the past as well. The opponents have done things like that since the beginning of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community and will continue to do so. These acts have failed to harm us in the past, and God willing, inshallah, these acts will bring us no harm in the future. It is not within the power of our opponents to harm our community. No human being has the capacity to stop the divine mission of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, through laws like this. The efforts of these governments, who rely on these so-called scholars, are an excuse to vent their jealousy because of the progress of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. They are blinded by envy, which makes them unable to think for themselves. These apparently educated people are behaving in a totally ignorant manner. They have never made any effort to find out for themselves the explanation of the true teachings of Islam given by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and his elucidations of the high status and the grandeur of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. they remain ignorant about how eloquently all these concepts are presented in the literature of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. When Arab and non-Arab Muslims, who have some sense of justice, study the Ahmadiyya literature for themselves and learn the truth, they are astonished to see that these so-called scholars, who regard themselves as the standard bearers of Islam, continue to use lies and deception in order to twist and misrepresent the teachings and writings of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. When people who have not accepted Ahmadiyyat yet see for themselves that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained the high status and beautiful teachings of Islam in an excellent manner, they express on the live TV programs on MTA and also write letters that this has now finally made them appreciate the true status and majesty of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Whereas they say that so far these so-called scholars have kept us in the dark. This makes it clear to people that in their animosity against Ahmadiyyat, our opponents, knowingly or unknowingly, are bringing the name of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and Islam into disrepute. Anyway, these so-called scholars thrive on discord and hostility. This indeed is their creed. That is why they will never make any effort to ascertain the truth, no matter how far it takes the simple Muslims from the right path. In any case, this is how they are, and they will continue to be like this. This is because they hold their personal gains to be dearer than their religion. Nevertheless, like always, this action of our opponents should be treated as a catalyst to instill passion in our faith and to consolidate our bond with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. If until now we were not actively studying the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, we should become promptly focused on reading these to a greater degree than before. Let alone the government of Punjab, no other government can put a stop to our mission. This is because our mission is not a result of human efforts. This is the mission of God. God has sent the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, with a spiritual treasure of knowledge and understanding, and has promised to make his mission successful. We've always seen that after great difficulties and opposition, the progress of our community is accelerated even more. This law that our opponents regard as a step against us is just a very minor setback. The more we are suppressed, the more God the Almighty confers His blessings upon us. Inshallah ta'ala, God willing, all this will only enhance us. Therefore, there is no need to worry. The reason we must not worry about this is because the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, are being published in many countries of the world. These books are available on the website, and some books are available on audio as well. We will try that more books are available on audio soon, inshallah. God willing. Indeed, in the past, banning of the publication of the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would concern us that it may have a negative impact. But now, with the grace of Allah the Almighty, these treasures of knowledge and wisdom are so widespread that we can access these with the press of a button. So our task now is to make an effort to attain the maximum benefits from the knowledge given in the writings and the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. I have thought now that on MTA, we should increase the airtime given to the dars, religious lectures, on the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, so that this law passed in one province of Pakistan will end up benefiting Ahmadis from all over the world. Every hindrance and every opposition works for our benefit. It makes us think of new ways and new resources. An added benefit, inshallah, of this new law will be that these books and dars will become available in many languages of the world in addition to the original language. Therefore, those people who get worried and then write to me, I have to say to them that they should not worry at all. This law against our literature makes it crystal clear once again. That though our opponents claim that they are against us because of the extreme dedication and love of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and they are the flag bearers of the teachings of Islam, in fact, they have never attempted to read the literature of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community with a fair mind. We regularly challenge the truth of their claim and their real actions. However, today I thought that I should present some excerpts from the writings of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to challenge the claim of our opponents that, God forbid, the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, contain material against Islam, or God forbid, lower the true status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through these excerpts, I wish to discount the notion of our opponents that the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, contain material which is against the teachings of Islam, or contain statements which promote hatred and are offensive. There is a vast literature in which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has written about the true status and the majesty of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is beyond belief that anybody who claims to love the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would refuse to hear or listen to these. We do not care about these so-called scholars. However, for the sake of thousands of people who listen to us through the MTA, I would present some of these extracts. This is to further increase the knowledge of our non-Ahmadi contacts, and also to hone the hearts and minds of Ahmadis, and to help them to develop their true comprehension. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, beautifully explained how to glorify Allah and invoke the Durood to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, O my God, I express extreme gratitude that you have explained to us the way to recognize you. You saved us from the mistakes of human logic and intellect by revealing your holy books. May peace and blessings be on the chief of the prophets, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and on his companions and his family. Through him, God granted the universe the right path. He was the pious teacher and the benefactor who guided the lost humanity to the right path. He did extreme favor and beneficence to people by freeing them from the evil of idolatry and idol worship. He was the light, the bright light, which has spread the light of unity of God in this world. He was the healer for all ages who restored the lost people on the right path. He was a miracle worker who gave the spiritually dead the life-giving water to drink. He was gracious and merciful, who worried in great anguish for his followers. He was a brave soldier and champion who clawed us back from the jaws of death. He was humble and selfless, who excelled in humility and self-evasiveness. He was the perfect worshipper of one God and a pinnacle of wisdom, who was fond of only the majesty of God alone and rejected all else. He was a miracle of the gracious God who was illiterate but was triumphant in spreading the true knowledge. A person's true moral qualities are displayed in the circumstances where he faces trials and tribulations and when he is in comfort and gains power. This reveals his true nature. These moral qualities are manifested at their best in the lives of the prophets of God and his chosen special ones. Amongst these, the highest status amongst the chosen people of God is that of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, writes about the morals of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, while extreme trials and tribulations, and also during the times of triumph. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote, God Almighty's design with regard to the prophets and the awliya, the saints and the holy men, is that every type of their high moral quality should be manifested and should be clearly established. It is obvious that the relevant high morals will only manifest at the right times. If right morals are shown at the right time, they have a strong impact on others' hearts. For example, forgiveness is an extremely appreciable quality, particularly when found manifested at the time when one is able to take revenge. Meaning true admiration belongs to those who forgive others even when they have the capacity to take revenge. Similarly, piety and abstinence become a true virtue when piety is maintained despite the desires of the self. Thus, God decides that his prophets and holy people should demonstrate every type of high morals to their best abilities. To fulfill this design, God Almighty divides their glorious and illuminating lives into two parts. One part is passed in hardship and under calamities, in which they are tormented and persecuted in every way, so that those of their high moral qualities can be manifested, which cannot be manifested except during severe hardship. If they were not subjected to severe hardship, how can it be affirmed that they are a people who are not disloyal to their Lord in the face of calamities, but rather, they continue to march forward? They are grateful to the benevolent God that he chose them for his favors and consider them worthy that they should be persecuted in his cause. Therefore, God Almighty afflicts them with calamities in order to demonstrate their patience, their steadfastness, their courage, their perseverance, their loyalty, and their bravery to the world, thereby illustrating them in al-istiqamatu fawqal karama, steadfastness has a higher status than a miracle. Because perfect steadfastness cannot be manifested in the absence of severe hardships, nor can the perfect degree of perseverance and steadfastness be shown except in the most trying circumstances. These calamities are in fact spiritual bounties for the prophets and awliya, through which their high morals, in which they are matchless and peerless, are manifested and their ranks are exalted in the hereafter. If they were not subjected to these hardships, they would not have attained these bounties, nor would their sterling qualities be demonstrated to the common people, and thus they would be regarded like other people and equal to them. And even if they had lived their short lives in comfort and luxury, they would still have to depart from this transitory world one day. In this way, their pleasantness would not have remained with them, and they would not have attained the lofty status in the hereafter, nor would their manliness, resolve, fidelity, and bravery have been universally acknowledged, which proved them to be distinguished with no match, incomparable without a peer, unique of the unique, hidden beyond hidden, where no one's imagination could reach. And so perfect and brave as if each of them were 1,000 lions in one body and 1,000 cheetahs in one frame. Whose power and strength rose above everyone's imagination and reached the loftiest ranks of nearness of God. All these high qualities become manifest and then reach higher levels of the closeness with Allah the Exalted. The second part of the lives of the Prophets and Awliya is the one in which they enjoy the highest level in victory, prestige and wealth, so that they may be able to demonstrate these essential high moral qualities that can be demonstrated only by one who enjoys victory, prestige, wealth, authority, sovereignty and might. Possession of wealth and power is an essential condition to prove that someone possesses such high morals as forgiving his tormentors, pardoning those who have offended him, loving his enemies, desiring the good of those who desire nothing but evil for him, not loving wealth, not allowing himself to become arrogant on account of his riches, not to be niggardly and tight-fisted, to be generous and bountiful, not to use his wealth for satisfying baser passions, and not to exercise authority and governance as a tool of tyranny and aggression. These qualities are demonstrated only when a person possesses both wealth and authority. Without passing through a time of trial and misfortune, and also a time of prosperity and authority, these two types of high qualities cannot be manifested. This is why the perfect wisdom of the Almighty God demanded that prophets and awliya should be provided with both these types of conditions, which comprise thousands of bounties. The occurrence of these two conditions, however, does not follow the same order for all of them. Divine wisdom ordains, in the case of some, that the period of peace and comfort comes in the first part of their lives, followed by a period of hardship, while the life of others begins in tribulation, and God's succor comes to their rescue in the end. In sum, the two phases are subtle and not easily defined, while in others they are clearly marked and evident. In this respect, the foremost is Hadrat Khatamul Rusul, the seal of the messengers, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Muhammad, the chosen one. For both these conditions were experienced by him in their perfection in such order that all the high moral qualities of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were illuminated like the sun. And thus, the meaning of إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ was fulfilled, that you do surely possess high moral excellences. What is more, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, having been proved to be perfect in both types of moral qualities, also serves as proof of the moral qualities of all prophets, because he has testified to their prophethood. He authenticated their scriptures and has shown the world that they were indeed Allah's chosen people. This analysis also completely repels the objection that might possibly arise about the moral qualities of the Messiah, Jesus, namely that the moral qualities of the Messiah, peace be upon him, cannot be established to a perfect degree with respect to both of the above mentioned types. Rather, that they cannot be established with even regard to one type, because the Messiah showed patience under distress. The perfection of this quality would have been demonstrated only if the Messiah had obtained authority and power over his persecutors and had forgiven his oppressors from the bottom of his heart, as did Hazrat Khatamul Anbiya, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who obtained complete victory over the Meccans and others, and after virtually having his sword upon their throats, forgave them their crimes. And he punished only those few who had been condemned by a special decree of Allah the Almighty to undergo punishment. Besides these eternally accursed few, every sworn enemy was pardoned, and having achieved victory, he announced to them, لا تسريب عليكم اليوم, no blame shall lie on you this day. On account of this forgiveness of offences, which had appeared impossible in the estimation of his opponents, who considering their own misdeeds, deemed themselves condemned to death in the hands of their avengers, thousands of people accepted Islam instantly. The opponents thought they could never be forgiven due to their wrong actions. Reflecting on their past misdeeds, they thought their only punishment was that they would be put to death. However, the Holy Prophet ﷺ forgave them. So the promised Messiah says, thousands of people accepted Islam instantly as a result. Thus, the sincere steadfastness of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, which he had demonstrated for a long period under their severe persecution, became illumined in their eyes like the sun. As it is part of man's nature that the grandeur and the greatness of patience is illustrated perfectly only for the person who, after the time of persecution has been dispelled, forgives his persecutors after obtaining power to punish them. The promised Messiah alayhi salam explains, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was placed in distress for a long period of time. However, true steadfastness can only be exhibited when the one who is in distress, when he has the power to take revenge and he holds the might to do so, he instead forgives. So this is true patience and steadfastness, which was shown by the Holy Prophet. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, that is why the moral qualities of the Messiah in the matter of patience and meekness and endurance were not fully demonstrated, and it did not become clear whether his patience and meekness was by his choice or was under compulsion. Because the Messiah did not acquire power and authority so that it could be judged whether he would have forgiven his enemies or taken a revenge upon them. In contrast, the good qualities of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were demonstrated and put to test on hundreds of occasions, and their truth shone like the sun. The good qualities of kindness, large-heartedness, munificence, selflessness, manliness, bravery, chastity, contentment, and withdrawal from the world were demonstrated so clearly and brilliantly in the case of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let alone the Messiah. There never was a prophet before him who demonstrated them to such perfection. Because God Almighty opened for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the doors to countless treasures, he spent them all in the way of God and did not spend a penny on any kind of self-indulgence. He created no buildings and built no mansions. Rather, he spent the whole of his life in a small mud hut that had nothing to distinguish it from the huts of the poor. He repaid evil with kindness and helped his tormentors in their distress out of his own wealth. He usually slept on the floor, lived in a small hut, and had barely bread to eat, and at times nothing at all. He was granted abundant wealth of the world, but he did not soil his holy hands with it, and always preferred poverty to wealth and meekness to power. From the day of his advent to the day when he returned to his companion on high, he attached no importance to anything except to his benevolent God. Solely for the sake of God, he gave proof of his bravery, fidelity, and steadfastness on the battlefield against thousands of enemies when death appeared as certainty. Similarly, did the benevolent God cause all other moral excellences associated with open-heartedness, generosity, contentment, courage, bravery, and love of God to be manifested in the person of Hadrat Khatamul Anbiya, the seed of a prophet, in such a manner as had never been displayed before, nor ever will in the world. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that this is what is meant by the statement that in his holy personality, the revelation and prophethood have reached their peak and pinnacle. All of these faculties have achieved their maxim in his holy personality. That is Allah's grace, he bestows it on whom he pleases. Further expounding upon a question from a Christian, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indeed radiance and light, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, the question was that Jesus, peace be upon him, spoke of himself thus, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he said, "I am light," and that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Therefore, the question was that did the founder of Islam ever speak of himself in these terms? The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, the Holy Quran clearly states, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. That say, if you love Allah, follow me, then will Allah love you and forgive you your faults. The promise that by following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one is loved by God surpasses all the sayings of the Messiah, for there can be no station higher than attaining the love of God. Who is more worthy of proclaiming himself the light than he who leads to God's love? It is for this reason that the Lord of Honor and Glory has named the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Nur, the Light, as he has said, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ, that there has indeed come to you from Allah a light. Then the love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following him can enable one to become the beloved of God. Explaining this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that God Almighty has stipulated a condition that anyone seeking his love must first follow the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In other words, one must love the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to gain the love of God. Therefore, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, it is my personal experience that to obey the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a sincere heart and to love him ultimately makes a person the beloved of God. God creates in his heart a burning for his own love, and such a one, withdrawing his heart from everything else, leans towards God, and his affection and desire remain only for God Almighty. Thereupon, a special manifestation of divine love falls upon him, and bestowing upon him the full color of love and devotion, pulls him towards itself with great force. He then overcomes his passions, and from every direction extraordinary works of God Almighty appear as signs in his support and to help him. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most perfect man and the most perfect prophet. Regarding this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, the man who in his being and in his attributes and in his actions and through his spiritual and holy faculties set an example of perfection in knowledge and action and in sincerity and steadfastness, and was called a perfect man, was Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The man who was the most perfect man, and as a prophet, came with full blessings, and who through a spiritual revival and resurrection manifested the first judgment in the world and revived the dead world. That blessed prophet, the seal of the prophets, the Khatamul Anbiya, the leader of the righteous ones, the pride of the prophets, was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chosen one. Our Lord, send down on that beloved prophet that mercy and blessings that thou hast not sent down on anyone since the beginning of the world. Had that grand prophet not appeared in the world, then we would have no proof of the truth of lesser prophets like Jonah, Job, Jesus son of Mary, Malachi, John, Zechariah, and so on. Though they were favorites and honored and were beloved ones of Allah the Almighty, they are under obligation to this prophet that they were accepted in this world as true prophets. O Allah, send down thy blessings on him and on his people and on his companions, all of them. Then, mentioning various benevolences of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, God Almighty has sent us such a prophet who is benevolent and a benefactor in all affairs of good. He has surpassed everyone in all aspects of perfection, in every respect. He is the seal of all messengers and prophets. The promised prophet who appeared in the mother of towns is indeed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the tongues of those who have acquired his grace remain moist due to their praise for him. He is also worthy of impeccable praise on account of bearing great hardship and struggle and propelled the structure of faith, and also because he came with a radiating and illuminating book. Also, because he became a target for all kinds of afflictions in order to convey the message of God, the Lord of all the worlds. Also, because whatever was incomplete and deficient in the earlier scriptures, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perfected it, and instead of any extremities and other flaws and faults, he granted us a pure shariat or law. He took morality to its most pinnacle state and perfected whatever was deficient. His benevolence encompasses the whole of mankind. He led us to guidance through his eloquence and illuminating revelation, and saved the world from his guidance. Through his noble example, he made us distinct and transformed even the beasts and animals. that is, enable those who live like animals and were uneducated and ignorant to speak respectfully and to acquire high morals. He instilled within them the spirit of guidance and made them the heirs of all the messengers. He purified them to such a degree that they became completely devoted to the will of God the Almighty, and they sacrificed their blood to run like water for the sake of God Almighty, and they wholly presented themselves to God Almighty with complete obedience. While, on the other hand, He granted us such novel and hidden intricacies of wisdom and insight, at such unique points of knowledge, that followers like us, who have partaken from some of these, have been raised to the station of true excellence. He raised us in our morals and also in knowledge and insight. Owing to His guidance, we have been able to witness the path to the true God with our own eyes. He has elevated us in spirituality too, and we have ascended to the uppermost skies after having been buried in the earth. Therefore, O Allah, send Your blessings and peace upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for eternity, and upon his pure and holy progeny, and upon his companions, who were his helpers, as well as the recipients of his help, and are among the chosen and select community of God Almighty, who gave precedence to God Almighty over their lives, respect, honor, wealth, and children. May God be pleased with them all. Regarding the blessings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's status as a seal of all prophets, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "It is our belief that our master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a prophet and messenger of God Almighty, and that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's faith is better than all other faiths. And we believe that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the seal of all prophets. The only prophet that can appear is one who has been nurtured by his grace and has come according to his prophecy. No other prophet can appear." The meaning of the seal of all prophets is that all excellences of prophethood have reached its pinnacle in our prophet, the most superior of all prophets and messengers. We affirm that the only prophet that can appear after him is one who is from among his ummah and among his perfect followers and has attained every grace from his spirituality and has been illuminated by his light. No other prophet can come, and this is the truth and is an testament to the blessings of the Holy Prophet, and his beauty is manifested in the form of his true followers who are engrossed in his love and devotion. It would be foolish to argue against this. In fact, this is a proof from God Almighty that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not an abtar. The intellectuals do not require any explanation for this, because the Holy Prophet was not the physical father of any man. However, by virtue of his spirituality, he is the father of a person who has attained perfection through the grace of his prophethood. He is the seal of all prophets, and the leader of all those who are accepted. No one can reach God Almighty without the imprint of his seal and following his sunnah. Neither can any action or any form of worship be granted acceptance without first having declared his prophethood and without being firmly grounded in his religion and in his creed. Whoever distances himself from him and does not follow his sunnah, his actions, according to his strength and abilities, is destroyed and ruined. After him there cannot be another new law, and neither can anything abrogate his book or commandments, and nor change his holy words. And no reign is like the reign of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Anyone who deviates even the slightest from the teachings of the Holy Quran moves away from the fold of faith itself. No person can be successful and nor attain any salvation until he follows all that which has been established by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyone who abandons even a single commandment of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam falls in a pit of destruction. Anyone who counts himself from the ummah and claims to be a prophet, yet does not affirm that he is nurtured through the grace of the best of creations, our master, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and neither does he believe in the fact that without following the Holy Prophet's example, he is nothing, that the Holy Quran is the Khatamul Shariat, the seal of all the books and the laws, then such a person is destroyed and ruined and is a disbeliever and wicked. Anyone who claims to be a prophet and does not hold the belief that he is from among the Ummah of the Holy Prophet, and everything he has attained is not due to his grace, and that he is not a fruit of his garden and a droplet of his rain and an emanation of his spiritual light, then such a person is accursed. Himself as well as his helpers, his followers and his companions are all accursed by God. Now under the heavens there is not a single person who is at distance from our Prophet, the Chosen One, yet can become a Prophet. And neither is there any book apart from the Holy Quran, and whosoever opposes it puts himself into the hellfire. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now the only intercessor. Regarding this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, "There is neither a prophet comparable to the Holy Prophet under the heavens, nor is there a book comparable to the Holy Quran. He is the only intercessor for man. So strive to display true love and devotion with this glorious prophet. Do not give greater importance to anything else apart from God. This will count you in the heavens among those who attain salvation. Remember, salvation does not begin to manifest in the life after death. Rather, true salvation shines its light in this life. Who are the ones who attain salvation? Those who firmly believe in the truth of God, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an intercessor between mankind and the Lord." There is now no book under the heavens except for the Quran, and no prophet except for Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. God did not will for anyone to live forever, but this esteemed prophet lives forever. Moses, peace be upon him, acquired that wealth which the earlier people had lost, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acquired that wealth which the Mosaic dispensation had lost. Now the mission of Muhammad is in place of the Mosaic mission, and it is thousands times more glorious than the model of Moses and a model of the son of Mary. These are just a few from among the innumerable extracts that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has written regarding the grandeur and status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, there is a treasure full of elucidations of the various aspects of the teachings of Islam which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has presented to us. May God the Almighty enable us to partake maximum benefit from them, and may He also enable the so-called leaders of Islam to listen to the words of the true devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and be able to properly guide the Muslims. After the prayer, I will lead two funeral prayers in absentia. The first is respected Muhammad Musa Sahib Darvesh Qadian, who passed away on the 10th of May 2015 at the age of 95. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The deceased was able to freely walk and move right up until his last days. 4 days before his demise, he fell in the Ahmadiyya Chowk and sustained an injury to his forehead area, as a result of which he remained admitted in Amritsar Hospital and later passed away in the Noor Hospital. The deceased was a Musi. His family did the bait during the era of the first Khalifa and entered Ahmadiyyat. The deceased lived in Sayyidwala in the district of Sheikhupura. In 1946, when he left his service from the army and settled in Qadian, Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, asked him about what work he was doing. The deceased replied that he had left his service in the army and now intended to start his own business. Upon this, Hazur stated that I require your services, and in those days the partition was taking place. This was in 1947 and he left his service in 1946. Hazur says that you are not to migrate to Pakistan and should remain in Qadian. Therefore, he remained in Qadian and was among the 313 Darveshi Qadian and spent his days of Darveshi in Qadian with great pride. For many years, he had the opportunity to serve in the offices of Sadr Anjuman Ahmadiyya, particularly in Darul Masih. In 2006, the deceased had the opportunity to attend the Jalsa Salana UK as part of the representatives of the Darvesh. He also had the opportunity to take part in the international bed ceremony representing India and was seated right at the front. He has left behind two daughters and three sons. His son, respected Latif Sahib, has retired after having served the Jamaat. His wife passed away on 30th May 2014 and supported a Darveshi husband throughout with great patience. May God the Almighty elevate the station of the deceased and enable his progeny to follow in the footsteps of their elders. The second funeral is of Sahibzadi Sayyida Amdul Rafiq Sahiba, who was a daughter of Hazrat Sayyid Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him. She passed away on 6th May 2015 at the age of 80. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hazrat Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib married twice. There was no progeny from the first marriage, and a second marriage took place with Hazrat Amdul Latif Begum Sahiba in 1917, and God Almighty blessed them with seven daughters and three sons. Sahibzadi Amdul Rafiq was the eighth child. She was a very knowledgeable person and quiet by nature. Her son, Hamidullah Nusrat Pasha, is a doctor in the Fazl-e-Umar Hospital. He writes that his father, Hazrat Ala Pasha Sahib, accepted Ahmadiyyat whilst he was studying in America in 1953. In 1960, when Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, gave the marriage proposal of my mother to my father, he stated that we have two maternal uncles. The elder one was a renowned sage, that is, Hazrat Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib, who was a brother of Hazrat Ammajan, the blessed wife of the promised Messiah. And the younger uncle was a very famous scholar, that is, Hazrat Mir Muhammad Ishaq Sahib. Mir Bashir Ahmad Sahib stated that I proposed the daughter of our elder uncle, Sahibzadi Amdul Rafiq, for marriage. His father replied to Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib that all my relatives are non-Ahmadis, therefore, how can I accept a marriage and how will I speak to them? He replied that he will speak to them about the marriage as his guardian. Thus, on the 5th of November 1961, his nikah took place and on the same day, their marriage too. Hazrat Sayyida Maryam Siddiqa Sahiba told Dr. Nusrat Pasha that Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, was ill when your mother got married. And so Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib led the prayer at the wedding and came in his representation. Afterwards, they came to visit Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, and while they were leaving, he sent a message out to Hazrat Ala Pasha, who married Amdul Rafiq Sahiba, that let him know that I have given you my daughter. Her son, as I mentioned before, is a Waqf-e Zindagi, a life devotee, and is a dental surgeon in Fazl-e-Umar Hospital. Their other son, Khidr Pasha, is in Dubai, and their daughter, Farhana Pasha, is the wife of Dr. Ghulam Ahmad Farak Sahib, who is a Waqf-e Zindagi, a life devotee, and serving in the computer section in Rabwa. Amtul Rafiq Sahiba had the opportunity to serve as the Naib Sadr, the deputy head of Sadr Lajna in Karachi for a number of years. Despite suffering from problems in her knees, she would go everywhere and would go to the offices even though they were situated on the top floors. And because of this, her problem worsened, but she continued to fulfill her duties. She was very caring for the poor and would extend extraordinary help to them and would keep it discreet. She had immense love for Khilafat, so much so that she would not tolerate any word against it. After the incidents that occurred in 1974, some guests one came to her house, and at the dinner table one of them said that during the proceedings of the National Assembly, Hazur, that is, Hazrat Khalifa Masih III, instead of saying this particular thing this way, should have said it another way. She immediately and very strictly admonished with her finger and said, I will not hear a single word after this, and ended the conversation. She was very loyal towards Khilafat. Then she had a very special relationship with God the Almighty. Dr. Nusrat Pasha Sahib relates that After his father's retirement, they only had his pension to survive on, and the circumstances became very difficult. One day my mother, in my presence, said to my father that I had been given the glad tiding of Wallahu Khairul Razakeen, that God is the best of providers. After which her husband was taken on as an advisor for the World Bank, and his consultancy fees also began to come in, and by the grace of God the Almighty, their income increased. She had no fondness with the world. Her daughter, Farah Pasha, writes that it took 15 minutes to gather all her belongings. One of her qualities was that all of her in-laws were non-Ahmadis, and Hadhrat Musleh Ahmad instructed her to always take care of her non-Ahmadi relatives. She states that my mother adhered to this instruction throughout her life with her husband and showed kindness to the non-Ahmadi relatives, despite the fact that they used to express their opposition. After her demise, some of them even acknowledged that no one cared for them and looked out for their welfare as much as she did. May God the Almighty elevate the status of the deceased and enable her progeny to continue performing her virtuous deeds.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.